Thank you for tuning in to the Head Game Podcast, powered by Mindful Athlete Training, where you grab an inside look into the heads and minds of the high performer. Learn what they do and how they think to help you take control of your own head game.
All right, so you know today's conversation is part of a larger, more uncut theme that we've identified really over the collective years, going back to head game concepts that began on radio, which COVID drove to a podcast. And while we highlight in the past different athletes, their perspectives, the athlete's mind, what it's like to kind of peer in it to see the head game that they play, as of late, we've more come to an agreement through behind closed door conversation that some of our more private topics, some of our more personal topics, more casual notions are as equally important for our listening audience. And Uncut is really an opportunity for both you and I to share first-person point of view, perspective, just thoughts about life in general. And hopefully our listening audience can get something positive from it.
Absolutely. You know, this week there's a lot of stuff kind of going on and thinking a little bit about it, of kind of state of affairs of the world and engaging in a lot. And I like to kind of consume a lot of different media types. Now, I've tried to increase my reading. I think I'm going to try to set a goal of 52-52, which means try to read a book every week.
A week.
So do it for 52, and I'll kind of update as we go along with that. But I came across this really interesting line in one of the books that I was reading. And it comes from like an old proverb. And it says, you know, a smattering of knowledge may not decrease one's ignorance, but actually increase it. So a smattering of knowledge may not decrease one's knowledge, but actually, or ignorance, but actually increase it. And so I think that's an interesting piece to kind of think about, as most information in today's society is shared through a snapshot and not depth. And I think how that increases potential people's ignorance, but has the perception of increasing intelligence, is a very interesting dynamic today.
I think of the very wide, looking from the top straight down, sliver of diamond, but then when you turn it sideways, it has no depth. Mm-hmm. It's just a sliver of glass. Mm-hmm. But to the naked eye, to the distant observer, it looks more substantial when you share that quote. I like I go right to smattering of how you and I have talked about before in today's communication age. I'm actually going to try to discuss a point of view or a perspective that I think is, there's a learning curve with different persons, different age, different demographics when it comes to the digestion of information. And I think so often the smartphone, the ability to communicate almost instantaneously, and how that perspective, that point of view is now being shared. I'm a big U2 fan. I'm a product of the 80s. Mm.
Did you see what U2 recently did?
That's what I'm bringing, the Sphere in Vegas.
Yeah.
And this, you know, which apparently is now such a big hit, there's already discussions of other spheres popping up all over the world. Mm. It's this three-dimensional experience where the backdrop behind a typical stage goes hundreds of feet vertical and behind the viewing audience. Mm-hmm. So you're completely encapsulated in this spheric experience. And I'm just sitting there watching, and there was so much push and so much promotion of how U2 was going to be the first to play there, what was going to be their opening song. And then they showed a shot of the lower level persons closest to the stage. And when U2 came out one at a time, as I've seen them many times in concert, they typically come out one at a time per band member. There are four of them. And within a moment's notice, thousands of people all on cue, as if it was a directorial cue, raised their phones.
Phone. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All the phones went up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, it was distract because it was a quality shot from behind. And it was a good sight line of the stage and the band walking up. And then clearly the cinematographer didn't account for everyone picking up their phone and raising their arms a good 2 or 3 feet to get that clear shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those moments for me where it was a genuine sign of the times.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's looking through the world through the looking glass, right? The classic looking glass. And I think our new looking glass is the camera, the availability of the camera. And I think it's an interesting concept. And, you know, we talk about how we're capturing knowledge, and everyone to some degree is an expert as a result of the access to a phone, right? Everybody has a supercomputer in their pocket, which means that any information at any one point can be grabbed. Something I recognized probably in college a little bit more so, at least for my generation too, was whenever there was a question, whenever there was a debate, the phone would quickly come out and say, Google it.
Someone would fact check it.
Challenge me, right? Or, even today's society, I think about like the dating society, which is probably positive in terms of like honesty, but like you could just look up somebody's profile. You can look up, you know, their background. You can't just say I'm training to be an astronaut, like those type of things, or I'm a firefighter. It's probably you're being a little bit more fact checked through that. But knowledge right now, especially, I think it's the appearance of experts, but in reality, they're just grabbing information or pieces of information, just one piece of the puzzle, and aren't always understanding the scope of it. And people are responding as a result of that one piece of information as it is the all-encompassing fact. And I think that enhances, right, that ignorance of the scope of the experience. It's the, I read this headline, and so now I know the entire encompassing, right? I would be intrigued to see how many people actually click on articles, fully read the article, and then read maybe 2 or 3 articles that either support or go against before then making a decision on their point of view.
Well, it sort of goes back to the, you know, the human attention span that, I don't know what the latest research is, but we all know over the last decade, it has been dwindling as far as a person's ability to pay attention for an extended period of time, how well they are consuming the information. This translates into academics, the educational system in general. And when people are struggling to hang in there, so to speak, and really find out what's next in today's instant communication, should I say more specifically, immediate gratification, you see the headline and you're often making a snap judgment. And to what degree you're clicking or how much time you feel you have to follow up, well, then often we all know that those small tidbits of information typically lead to more rumor. But through the smartphone, rumor now goes viral and it's an over-communication to the masses. And then that small little tidbit, that headline, that word, that phrase that you might have seen, you hear about later that day. You hear about it the next morning at work. But it's a, mm-hmm. it's a very delicate whisper down the lane game, where you don't really know to what degree the information that is being communicated by the masses is factual, is truth. Therefore, to what degree do you even make an opinion on it, or do you just go with the masses, thus ignorant?
Yeah, I think about the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks. And if our audience hasn't seen it yet, I know, Lee, maybe we've talked about it a few times too, but you know, Castaway is a movie. Guy works for FedEx, is traveling in a coastal trip. Plane crashes. He's the only survivor, lands on an island, and has to live by himself. And he lives there for multiple years. For 4 years. And I kind of won't give away what happens towards the end. But, you know, on day one, you know, when he lands on the island, You know, he's just trying to figure it out. He's trying to figure out how big the island is. He's trying to see the landscape. He's trying to, as the wreckage starts to come onto the land, just trying to bring it on, not necessarily knowing how he's going to use it. He tries to discover and make fire, ends up hurting himself trying to do that for the first time. After 4 years, though, he's able to pretty much use the landscape, use the environment, use his tools almost at his own will. He shapes it into what he needs it to be to survive. And I feel like this is very much the same in today's society in terms of, I still think the internet, or I still think this information wave of today is still us being new to the island. It's, we don't necessarily know all of the tools. We don't necessarily know how to navigate it, right? All we really know is, okay, we have these tools and these resources and we're trying to figure it out. And I feel like it is happening slowly where people are recognizing, there are better yet, there are certain people who are recognizing, I can't just make a snapshot decision of the headline. You know, I think more and more people are starting to recognize, not everyone, but I think more and more, especially as the younger generation comes up and the older generation is starting to recognize this as well. I think there is a questioning more, or at least I encourage people to question more instead of that snapshot decision, because I think there is this more skepticism that actually could be used to advantage to help us learn how to use this new landscape.
I love the analogy of the island, and I love, you know, I just love it. I think that's great. I think that that's a very good visual. So let's just kind of run with that a little bit. The difference for me is that Castaway, I think, speaks to the masses because you immerse yourself in Tom Hanks's role and you say to yourself, can I do that? Could I survive? Could I figure it out? And to your point, when he does first land, it's so unfamiliar that he has a lot of trepidation. He has a lot of reason to hesitate, to slow down. And even when he does that, he gets injured. Now let's go to the internet. My concern is that I agree, we're still trying to figure it out, but where's the hesitation? Where is the concern for potential self-harm? And the word that comes to mind, Hunter, is reckless. I think we've become too reckless too quickly in spite of ourselves in the pursuit of intelligence, communication, information, almost as if we're not ready for it. We can't handle it. And because we're reckless, I think it's listening to instinct and knowing when to slow down. And I think because of technology, it's not fair of me to say, not because, that's not the word that I want to use. The role that technology plays for, listen, there's billions of people on the planet. The role technology plays for many, many people only can provide them with this snapshot. It's not of their choosing. It's a very small nanosecond of glimpse through technology, through that lens, through that looking glass. But if you're not listening to some type of instinctual response to slow down, when, back to Tom Hanks, when you're facing life or death, that instinctual drive is stronger. There's an urge to listen to your body, to adhere more to laws of nature. I think in today's world, in the safety of someone's home, on a laptop, on a tablet, it's just, it promotes recklessness. It promotes boundary-free exploration. I agree, but I think also too, self-government, there needs to be a level of awareness of knowing when the application of the self-government is appropriate, is warranted, that it just feels time to reflect. And I think with technology, with a general curiosity and exploration, people are just encouraged to seek They are more carte blanche with their ability to explore at their will. And I think for that reason, without repercussion, for that reason, the recklessness that flame is getting fanned quietly. And over time, I think what we see as a byproduct is more of that fire that's now raging out of control. That's been burning for a long, long time. But because of the lives that we lead, we're far too busy to pay attention to it. And then we only really pay attention to it when there's a problem, when it starts to get too close to us or infect something that impacts something that we care about.
Yeah, I think about, too, like how people engage in information digestion. You know, we talk about this risk-taking and this self-governance aspect of information. I don't want to just say the internet, right? I think it's just in general information, how people are taking it in. I don't know, maybe you can speak on this a little bit because of your experience too. Like, did you notice that people question more? Did you notice, I guess, that people would seek out more knowledge before making a decision? Is there more of that snapshot, okay, that's the opinion immediately today? Is that like what you're noticing, even among like your peers? Or is this something that you just feel like is, no, this new wave of how people maybe in a younger generation is taking that on?
I just think that, listen, just for the record, you know, 30 plus years ago when I was in my 20s, you still made snap judgments. Mm-hmm. You still barely digested information and came up with a strong opinion. The difference is you couldn't share it. Mm. Mm. The difference is you couldn't send it to your friends. Mm-hmm. It was all encapsulated. It was individuals within the group. You would talk about it. You would communicate it. You would make those opinions. There would be head knocking, all of those things that go on now. Mm-hmm. When we see the outrageousness on Facebook of someone going after another person, of being there, some type of war of the words, all of mm-hmm. that stuff went on, but it was contained. And yes. I think that because of the communication highway that exists now, and because it's transported so quickly, other people now have an opportunity as a voyeur, right, to weigh in and to listen and to make their own judgments very, very quickly. There are two people that are arguing. How many videos are out there about where there's conflict or mm-hmm. people are fighting? And there's the caption on the bottom of what you should be paying attention to. And then we look at it and it's 30, 45 seconds. And then we come to our conclusion. But if we're fascinated by that, if we're moved by that, what do? We share it, right? It goes on to the next person. It continues. And I think that's the big issue. That's the big hurdle for humankind.
It's really interesting. It's this mass sharing that, you know, The notion that everyone has a platform. And I think they also, the anonymous platform is a very interesting one too, how people can be anonymous on that space and how they can communicate certain ideologies, certain thoughts. And I think there's an interesting aspect and potential danger and supportive elements within that. But I think you're right in terms of, it's also not doing it for the sake of sharing information. There's also a lot of people who are doing it for the aspect of the attention, right? Of I'm going to share because I want people to acknowledge, right? I'm filming that I'm at the U2 Sphere first concert, not because this is something that I just genuinely love, but because I want to, it's a social credit, right? It's a social currency, if you will, that you've been somewhere exciting, that you've been to a place that, you know, nobody else has. There's a credit to that that you hope bolsters your status within the societal nature, with your standing in the facet of it. The thing, again, I think about, because again, I like to be more of an opportunistic individual, is I think we're still trying to figure out that landscape. The fear, I think, though, is how many risks, how many people get injured until we can figure that out, right? How many snapshot decisions do we get to a potential place that is not recoverable because of the injuries or the wounds or the traumas or the challenges that occur as a result of trying to figure out the landscape, right? Because if you get hurt enough on an island alone, You don't make it off.
It's just something else to think about with technology and how people are introduced to snapshots, opinions, and then what they do with it. There's no real negative repercussion when you move it forward, when you move it on. Whereas going back to decades ago, if I was within a peer group and I had a very strong opinion that was differing, that difference was engaged, responded to immediately. And I'm not saying it led to more conflict, but it's something that I had to manage in real time. And that scenario asked more of me because of that real-time engagement. That doesn't exist now. It's literally something where if it moves me, if it strikes me one way or the other, the spectrum from 0 to 100, from one pole to the other, doesn't matter where I lie, I can pay it forward in my own mind to someone that I feel should see it, could benefit from it. I could drop an opinion to it to put the exclamation point on it, and off it goes. And there's no repercussion whatsoever. So now to our, I guess, overarching topic, the possible level of ignorance that I am now digesting, consuming, making a snap judgment, not based on all the facts. I'm moving forward along the line, but now with my own opinion on top of it. Again, without that immediate feedback. So what's my learning curve? Where does it come from? How do I reflect? How do I learn that I need to change my ways to get off the island?